Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Mr. Unlimited.
Russell Wilson.
He goes into the end zone for a touchdown.
And the Giants respond.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Cha-ching, a Thunder Moneyball.
SGN, he is him.
Mention, he scores. It's goal 889.
Today's guests, actor Anthony Anderson, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, Buccaneers linebacker Lavonte David, Academy Award winning director Barry Levinson, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Oh yes, everybody, what a great show we have here today. I love it. I love doing stuff like this. Hardcore football in the middle with Daniel Jeremiah joining us and Lavonte David of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Anthony Anderson first up this hour, final hour. The director, Barry Levinson, of the De Niro movie we talked about with Robert De Niro himself last week, called The Alto Nights, in theaters near you. And guess what? Barry Levinson has also directed films like Diner and The Natural and Rain Man and Good Morning Vietnam, and wrote for Mel Brooks, which means we've got a legendary celebrity, true or false, for the director in hour number three. Pop culture wormhole going down that lane in hour number three. There's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on this Wednesday before the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight weekends in men's and college basketball world. So much to discuss. Again, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I'm wonderful.
Jay Felly is here. Good to see you.
What's up, Rich?
Del Tufo couldn't make it three in a row.
Apparently not.
It's all good, but it's good to see you, bud.
Good to see you, too.
TJ Jefferson, candles lit over there. Good to see you.
Well, to quote Michael Cole after Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker, the streak is over.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
Wow.
And man, there's lots to talk about with Daniel Jeremiah in hour number two. Cam Ward, as we know, had his pro day earlier this week. Yesterday, Texas had its pro day. Today's LSU's pro day. And voila, magically, Will Campbell, his arm grew 3/8 of an inch.
Hey!
From the combine.
Can I go get measured at the LSU pro day?
I'm just saying, everyone's talking about his arms are too short to block people and you know, to take care of business in the NFL. And voila, between the combine and the pro day, his arm grew 3/8 of an inch.
What are those exercises you can do for that?
Every eighth of an inch counts, Rich.
Just saying.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess somebody pulled his arm while... pulling his leg.
My arm.
Need Danny Noonan coming here to block for me.
Danny.
Hey, this league, man. This league, it's just like great. It's so great.
Do it.
Are you pulling my leg, or did somebody pull his arm? Thank you so much.
But
I owed it to him.
I'll be here all week.
So there's a lot to talk about Daniel Jeremiah coming up in hour number two.
Did that feel good, that release?
Well, no. I'll just say, you know, because we're waiting for the draft. It's now, we determine how many days it is?
29 today.
29 days. All right, today's 29 Eric Dickerson days from the draft. And we're waiting. We're waiting to see how it's all going to play out. Is there anybody to trade up for that first overall pick? Well, it doesn't look like the Titans are interested because they sent their entire contingent, including their broadcast and internet teams, to record Cam Ward's pro day in Miami. Like, literally, their entire front office and their coaching staff that has anything to do with the quarterback was there. Cleveland sitting at two. What are they going to do?
Cleveland.
And then whatever Cleveland does, clearly Mike Mayock joined us on Monday, said that the Browns control the draft because everyone assumes it's Cam Ward going to Tennessee. Then what are the Browns going to do? They choose a quarterback?
No idea.
Or they choose anybody that's not a quarterback? And then in this draft, that means Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. And if they choose the quarterback, then that means the Giants would be choosing between Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter. Or if they take one of them, then the Giants would be taking either one of the guys that the Browns left on the board or Shedeur Sanders, who was thrown with Malik Nabers the weekend of the Heisman Trophy in December out in the streets of New York because he was there to support Travis Hunter. And the Giants made a move yesterday because we're all waiting on Aaron Rodgers. And it's crazy. Rodgers shows up at the Steelers facility. I was going to say out of the blue, but, you know, it's not like the Steelers didn't know. It's not like he just knocked on the door and said, oh, look who's here.
Hi.
Hey. Guys, why is Aaron Rodgers at the front door?
Excuse me. Go tell Mr. Rooney an Aaron Rodgers and an Aaron Rodgers is here.
Who invited him?
So it's out of the blue. It's obviously out of the blue to us in the media, but not to them.
Where is Aaron right now?
Well, he spent hours at the Steelers facility last week. And then within 48 hours, Jameis Winston is signed to the Giants. 2 years, $8 million. And then yesterday, Russell Wilson signs a one-year deal that can be worth up to $21 million, $10.5 million guaranteed. Keep that in mind. Put a pin in that. And the 10-time Pro Bowl selection who visited Cleveland, and everybody over the last week was saying is such a low option for the Steelers that they're willing to just tell Aaron Rodgers, take your time. I'm signing Mason Rudolph in the meantime. He's now going to the Giants where he is projected as the starting quarterback for the Giants. A few things here. First of all, Russell Wilson reminds everybody that he's going back to MetLife Stadium. He's like, what do you mean going back to MetLife Stadium? That's where he won his Super Bowl. That's where the Seahawks beat the Broncos on a unseasonably warm 60-degree February day.
They beat the brakes off the Broncos.
By the way, after it was 0 degrees all week in New York, and then it was a blizzard the day after, the football god said, here's a 60-degree day for your football Sunday. And it was a red-hot day for the Seahawks, top to bottom, especially on defense. But long story short, dangerous Russ Wilson. Fiends feels very comfortable back in MetLife Stadium. Wants everyone to know that. And Major League Baseball had their fun with it, too, saying here he is playing for New York and it's him as a Yankee, you know, because he's done the Yankee spring training stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, a couple things. First of all, let's talk about the Russell Wilson part of it. I can't believe, based on the way his career began, that he's now a journeyman quarterback. Mm-hmm. But that's when you say a journeyman quarterback, it does sound that it is a denigrating term. But he has now gone, it's three teams in 3 years. He's gone from Denver to Pittsburgh to New York. And remarkably, after what happened at the end of Seattle and then the way that he left Denver, he got a spot right off the bat in Pittsburgh to the point where Kenny Pickett says, get me out of here. And on the day that he's introduced as the new Cleveland Browns member, of the team, Russ visited that day. And he probably thought, how many AFC North stops am I going to stop at where this guy shows up and I want out of here now?
Probably. Well, you think he was like, I know that ain't who I think it is.
But that's not an issue for him anymore because he's now with the Giants. And a 10-time Pro Bowler is now got yet one more shot to potentially be his last shot at reviving a career that was on the path to the Pro Football Hall of Fame while he was in Seattle. And Denver traded a ton for him and then dead capped a ton of money to get rid of him. And then he goes to Pittsburgh where he has the pole position only to get hurt in the summer and still be handed the team at 4-2, turn it into a 10-3 team, and then have everything fall so far off the cliff that the Steelers didn't apparently consider him as an option to move on with this year, to the point where he gets to go visit Cleveland and then New York, and the Giants say, we will sign you. And he gets now this opportunity for the Giants in the money division, where I'll tell you what, they had best protect him up front, because the way that the season ended last year, I mean, the Eagles are going to have a field day.
Mm-hmm.
And the Commanders a field day, and Micah Parsons a field day if the Giants don't protect up front for Russ. But I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school there. That it is a remarkable, yet again, opportunity for Russell Wilson, because as of right now, he's going to be the starting quarterback. And all due respect to Jameis Winston, he will back up. And Tommy Cutlets will be there as an emergency just in case. Pulled a ripcord type moment. And that brings us to the draft ramifications. I don't think this takes the Giants out of taking a rookie quarterback in Green Bay in the 2025 draft.
At number three?
It definitely removes the pressure of taking one at number three. If they don't, and they take Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, if that's their options, or potentially even trading out, if that's what they want to do, they can do that now. If they're not into Shedeur Sanders, they can pass, but then take somebody later on. Tyler Shuck, trade up for Jackson Dart. There are options for them, but they don't have to do it at three. But they could still take Shedeur Sanders and be like, how many quarterbacks can they have? Four. For training camp, winnow it down, have Shedeur sit, Russ plays. If Russ can't go and Shador's not ready, Jameis goes. Two veterans in the quarterback room to coach him up, if that's what they want to do. Because Russ, now he pulled a pin out of what I said to put a pin in. $10.5 million. Jameis, $4 million.
Right.
That's $15 million. That isn't even half of what they were paying Daniel Jones.
Correct.
So the salary cap and the amount of money that they're allocating to these quarterbacks doesn't mandate their position. It doesn't put a mandate that they have to play. They don't. It's 1 year. It's not that long of a commitment. I don't think this takes the Giants out of the drafting a quarterback market at all. But it definitely makes it less likely that they're forced to take one at the number three overall position if they're not into whoever's there. That's the way I'm reading it. And Cleveland does hold the cards. Do they want Shedeur? Because if they don't take Shedeur and the Giants aren't into Shedeur, then guess what? I mean, and everyone sticks and picks. I don't know where Shedeur goes. You put up the draft order here. The Patriots and Jaguars aren't taking him. They might trade out for somebody that wants him. Then comes the very interesting choices of 6, 7, and 9. If Shador's sitting there at 6 because the Giants don't need him at 3, do the Raiders go ahead and do it, or they take Ashton Jeanty?
You know.
Do the Jets take Shedeur Sanders at 7? That would be something to think about. Do they do something like that? Do the Saints do it at 9? Because, if again, if the Titans take Cam Ward and the Browns are like, you know what? We got Kenny Pickett for this year. We got Deshaun coming back and from his Achilles the year after that. They might go ahead and take a flyer at Kirk Cousins, knock on Atlanta's door. Mike Mayock keeps talking about how Derek Carr would be a post-June 1st option. Do they do that? They've got the first pick on Friday night. Do they take Tyler Shuck there if nobody trades up for him? They could stick and pick and take that kid there. You know? So these are all possibilities here at the quarterback spot. But the Giants don't have to take one now. Third overall. The headline is on the draft, Giants don't have to take one, but these moves don't preclude them from doing it. Third overall. Whereas before getting these veterans, they might have had no choice but to force their way into a situation, which might be an unfair way to describe Shedeur Sanders being drafted. And I'm sure this now sets off an alarm bell potentially in Boulder, in the coach's office, to start trying to game this out. Where does Shedeur land? And I'm sure he wants to be at the top of the draft, but the more he drops, the better the teams are that may get him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, Lamar, two-time MVP of this league, was sitting there at the 32nd overall pick, and the Ravens were like, okay, we see you.
That worked out.
I'm right. So it doesn't matter if he drops other than just a longer night on a Thursday night and a potentially bruised ego.
A little financial, but that could be made up.
Well,
he's doing all right.
I think he's doing all right on that front.
yeah, we were just looking at the valuation.
Right. And then you got the you can't make this up type stuff. Because as of right now, here, 29 days before the National Football League draft, the two starting quarterbacks in MetLife were the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback room of 2024.
I didn't even think of that. That's so funny.
Wow.
The Steelers, let me repeat this again. The Steelers quarterback room of 2024, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, are the starting quarterbacks in MetLife for 2025. Which you could say doesn't bode well that the guy on the left, who took a 4-2 team from the guy on the right,
they did win a bunch of games last year.
I know, only to have when the rubber hit the road and the Steelers played more AFC North teams than not, throwing the Chiefs on a Christmas Day, a brutal stretch of a Saturday, Wednesday, Sunday trio of games that they went 0-3 in against the top competition in the league. You know, now Russ, who didn't look all that great in those times, are going to be taking on the Eagles twice a year. Justin Fields, who was 4-2, and the Steelers passed him up for the now Giants starting quarterback and didn't give him $20 million a year, only to no doubt give Aaron Rodgers, what, $40 million? Now you got to sit here and wonder what the contract is for Rodgers. That guy is now going to start for the Jets, Justin Fields. He's going to replace Rodgers, who's going to replace Justin Fields, and Russell Wilson replaces Daniel Jones. And you got to wonder, is this an upgrade from Daniel Jones? Mm. Certainly if that line can't protect. And then you're wondering, Aaron Rodgers, what's he thinking? Sitting around, putting on that blanket, staring at the sunrise. What's he thinking? You know what he's thinking? Steelers have no choice but to ask for me now. It's amazing. The conversation was, his other options are going to dry up if he doesn't act soon. And the Steelers waited. And now it's like Rodgers or bust. And his price is only going to go up. So what's that GIF you see? Like, pointing your noggin?
That's roll safe. That's roll safe.
That dude is like,
right? Rodgers gets the spot that he kind of wanted. What do you think now? 2 years, $100 million, $90 million?
Oh, for Rodgers?
Yeah.
Why would you do that if you're Pittsburgh?
Because you got no choice.
Yeah, you're kind of stuck.
Well, you could draft someone at 21.
You could, yeah, and go for sure. Okay, you can do that.
I wouldn't give Rodgers $50 million a year.
Well, guess what? He's going to get something pretty good. It's going to start with a 4. If it starts with a 3, then kudos to them. And it's going to be 2-3 years, maybe some phony years and money on the back end. I don't know.
I think 2 for 75 is but pretty fair.
The Giants clearly think Rodgers is not coming to them.
Right.
They signed Jameis and Russ.
Yeah.
After Rodgers spends hours at the Steelers facility. Yeah, the question isn't if now, it's just when is he going to be named the new starting quarterback at the Pittsburgh Steelers and for how much and for how long? While the quarterback room of the Steelers of 2024 are the starting quarterbacks of MetLife in 2025. Can't make it up. Daniel Jeremiah will join us on this program in hour number 2 first up, but let's take a break. Anthony Anderson is here. Do you want to call him out, TJ, from the green room? That's next.
From Monaco to El Segundo.
That's right. The star of G20, along with Viola Davis. Come on out.
Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.
Back here on the Roku channel. What did we miss? Just Anthony Anderson sitting down here back on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, sir.
When did your show get on Tubi?
We're everywhere, man. No, we're everywhere. Prime Video's G20. It will be available for streaming on April the 10th. You are the first gentleman of the United States. The president of the United States is only Viola Davis.
Yes.
The G20 has taken over, and things are not good. It's under siege. This is
you. Rich, don't give it away.
Well, no, it's a clip as well. I mean, the clip isn't helping.
Let's see what's going on.
And your children trying to figure out what to do with the G20 under siege, and mom, a.k.a. the president, not there.
Okay.
Well, little did they know.
Yeah.
That Viola Davis is packing. I love this show.
I haven't seen that one.
You haven't seen that
one? I haven't seen that
Look
one.
At that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what's crazy, though? Depending on when you watch this show, what you had to smoke or drink or eat, you might be watching it and be like, oh, my God, which episode of Black-ish is this? I
was about to say, with Marseille Martin there playing your daughter again, like, the real spoiler alert is at the end of the movie, you wake up and you're on the set of Black-ish.
Yeah, right?
Now that's that would have been
crazy. That would have been crazy. It's like, I don't remember this episode. Which kid is that?
We call that a very special episode.
Yes, yes.
But again, it's G20. It's streaming on Prime Video on April the 10th, means it's available here on Roku. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network now. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Our radio audience, we just showed a clip of G20 Prime Video. We'll be streaming it for your viewing pleasure on April the 10th with Viola Davis and this man, Anthony Anderson, here. Now, this one you've seen. You've seen this poster,
Yeah, I've
right?
seen that poster. Okay. I've seen that poster.
Look at her packing, just like ready to roll.
A friend of mine sent me, my buddy Kevin Lyles, he was in New York in Times Square, and he took a picture of this in Times Square, and I hadn't seen it. This was just a couple of days ago. And he sent it to me. He was like, yo, man, I'm happy for you. I was like, yo, this, you're the first person to show me this poster. Yes. I was like, cool.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Where you're playing the first gentleman of the United States, Viola Davis is and you throw down in this movie.
I throw down a little bit, man. I throw down a little bit. You know what, Viola wanted me to be her husband. I mean, you know, there are other people vying for this position. And Viola was like, I need Anthony Anderson. So I had to show up and show out for her. For the first, I'm the first husband, so I had to show out for our Madam President.
It makes sense. You can't just mess around.
No.
With Viola Davis.
Not at all.
Okay.
You see the ass she kicks, man? Did you see the woman king?
No. It's
man, she brought that to this.
And again, as you point out, your daughter from Black-ish is playing your daughter in this film as well,
yes.
Right?
So. And I would like to say that I insisted that they hire her.
This is paying it forward.
That's
is what it.
That's
is.
What it is. Because, you know, Lil Marseille, I call her Lil Coretta because she has such an old soul. I told her one day that I'm going to be asking for her for a job. So I just trying to make sure that she's taken care of as best she can be at this early age. So when I need it, I can call her.
You know, that's called self-preservation.
Yes,
and also being a good, I guess, TV dad, now film dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're taking care of everybody.
Definitely.
This is great, though, right? Like, you saw this and you're like, I'm definitely doing this.
Oh, definitely. And like I say, you know, honestly, Viola wanted me for it, and I can't. Viola Davis, she's an EGOT.
That's correct.
You know what I'm saying? So when an EGOT calls you and says, and I read the script, and we were shooting it in Cape Town, South Africa for 6 months.
That's where you shot it.
Yeah, that's where we shot it. And I loved every minute of it. You know, it was a great time and a great place for me to be there. And so, just took stock in my life, took stock in me, and to be in a place like South Africa at the same time that was going on.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I made a list of things that I wanted to change in my life and career and all of that while I was there. So it was a beautiful experience on top of making a film there with a great crew.
Do you have a moment where you're like, I'm acting in a scene with Viola Davis? Does that happen for you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
And you've been there and you've done that. You've done a lot,
Anthony.
Yeah,
I've done that. I was like, hold on, wait a minute. We kissed today? I flossed places of my body. I didn't know floss could go because I was going to be kissing by. I was like, this ain't even going to be on her lips, but I'm going to make sure it's clean. With all due respect.
Oh, yes.
With all due respect.
You got to say that first. You got to say that
with
first,
all due respect,
Anthony.
It was sensational. But I just made sure that everything was going to be right.
Oh, my gosh.
Anthony, why are you getting your toes clipped? I'm kissing Viola today.
But your shoes are on.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I need my heels waxed.
Oh, my gosh. You know, you've been on this show multiple times before. I've never asked you about The Departed.
Oh, well, let's talk about it.
Let's do it.
Yes.
What was it like on that set, man?
Oh,
like,
that was
Scorsese's on the other side of the camera.
Yeah, that was amazing, man. To work with the cast that Scorsese assembled, man. It was a dream come true to work with arguably the best director of all time. You know, that's what I'm gonna call. I get to call him Marty. So hey, what's up, Marty? I know you're watching. Yeah, it was, you know, it's crazy. When, before we started, they were asking me about Martin Scorsese. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think about the film? I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to guarantee him an Oscar for this film. And they were like, oh, really? Because, you know, he's worked with the likes of, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio. They were asking me, how is that going to be? You know, they've been together. And I was like, well, Leo couldn't deliver it for him in the past. I'm going to deliver it for him now. And what happened? Golden Globe, he shouted me out from the stage. Oscars shouted me out from the stage. Ha ha! Suckers.
And he'd never gotten one.
Never gotten one.
I know.
And I guaranteed it before we shot our very first frame.
And everyone's wondering how that happened.
Yeah.
And now we know.
Right here. This guy right here.
This guy right here. What did you, now again, you were law enforcement in this film,
yes,
right? So were you on the set at the same time as Nicholson at any point in time?
I was. We didn't have any scenes together.
Right.
But I was, yeah.
You got a good story of Jack? Just being on the set with him, or
not a good story. I mean, this is the story that I heard. That there were some scenes that didn't make the film, mm-hmm. and there were some pretty provocative scenes. And I remember there was this actress in the trailer next to me, mm-hmm. and all I remember was that somebody said, "Oh, we need to go get her a bottle of champagne or something," and she just wanted to get ready for the scene. And it was, you know, Jack was walking around with, you know, maybe I shouldn't tell this story. I realized where this story was going to go. And I was like,
"That's all said." That says it, though.
Yeah.
I think you're saying it without saying it.
I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said or people didn't know. There were some pictures of him, and he was, you know, having some fun and all that. But you know what? Never mind. Go to the tabloids. Great. It was a great shoot, though.
It has to be. I mean, that has to be.
Yeah, we had a great time.
I didn't get shouted out for.
Jack Nicholson, Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, Mark Wahlberg, Vera Farmiga, myself, Martin Sheen.
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin, the dude from Sexy Beast, whose name I always forget.
That's right.
I just call him Sexy Beast.
Is it Ray Winston?
Yes.
He was great in that, too, man.
Yes, he was, man. Directed by Martin Scorsese. And I'm the only black guy in the film. And they kill a bunch of white guys before they kill me. I don't die first. That's why I was like, I'm in it.
I knew asking you about it was good. I knew it was going there.
I know what it's okay.
How?
Hold on one sec. Hold on. Hold on.
Yeah.
Martin Sheen dies before I do.
Uh huh. Yeah, he does.
Leonardo DiCaprio dies before I do.
This movie is, let me get to 2006. It's almost 20 years.
I made it almost to the end in a Scorsese thriller. I should be an EGOT.
That's true.
Yeah, but what do you mean? I digress. Go on. You're about to ask something else.
You didn't get thrown off of a building either.
I did not get thrown off of a building. I took one to the melon. Bow!
Have your kids seen that?
Yeah, they have. They like it. You know, what's crazy? You know, I get shot in the head. You know, spoiler alert. I mean, you've seen
it's
20 years old.
Right, exactly.
So I get shot in the head, and I remember, he's like, "Yo, you getting shot in the head?" So I do this, and Marty says, "Cut! Anthony, you don't die like that when you're shot in the head. You just crumble." I was like, "Really? I didn't think a bullet here, you do that?" He was like, "Nah, you don't do that." So I got shot, and I just fell. And he's like, "Perfect! Cut! Next scene!"
So you did not die properly.
No, I was acting. I was acting, I was blacking, I was doing everything that I learned to do in acting school. I was like, "Oh, boom, one chair, yes!" And it was right after DiCaprio got shot. I was like, "He can't die better than me. He died, bam!" Marty was like, "Cut! No, Anthony, that's not how we do it. That's not, no. You're doing a little too much,
oh,
okay?"
Oh, my God.
Did you scream OS in the movie when you saw it for the first time and the elevator opens and Leo gets bopped? I screamed.
O-S, so we can't say
Yeah, right.
No, not really.
I almost said it, but that's
why. Well,
I did. I did scream.
Okay.
I did scream.
Just confirming.
Yeah, that was
insane.
Truly, I know.
Yeah. Oh, you know, another great story. You see how loud I am.
Sure.
Really? Marty does not like loud sounds.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
So we could be having a conversation, just regular conversations, and then all of a sudden you knew when Marty was coming to set because everything became a hushed whisper.
Oh.
Yeah,
wow.
It was just something that I don't know how this happened, and I'm loud. I think somebody had to come to me. And it was like, "Hey, Aunt, just so you know, when Marty comes down here, you're going to have to." I was like, "Oh, okay." And then something happened on set, and I became Anthony. I became loud and boisterous with my laugh and all that. And in the distance, not far away, all I saw was Marty doing this.
Is that why you haven't been in another Scorsese movie since?
Oh, is that the reason?
I don't know. I mean,
why is Scorsese had his hands over his ears? Like, what the hell is going on? And I saw him in the distance, and I was like, oh, I'm too loud. Okay, I'll stop.
Maybe that's why he gets along with De Niro, because De Niro doesn't really raise his voice.
Oh, no,
you know?
He De Niro just talks in hush whispers.
That could be working.
Yeah. I met De Niro at a Buco de Pepo.
In New York City?
In New York City. There's a picture of us sitting together at the table in that restaurant in New York City now. But I couldn't understand a word he was saying because he doesn't raise his voice at all. Man. He's just, huh? What'd you say? Huh?
The only time I've met Martin Scorsese is in London. I was there calling a game for the NFL, and I was in the Chiltern Firehouse in London. Awesome spot. There was a table to our left, this massive table that nobody was sitting at when we sat down. By the middle of the dinner, it was obvious they were all there for the promotion of The Irishman. They meaning Pacino, De Niro, and Scorsese, and then Bruce Springsteen sat down.
Oh, wow.
And I had a choice of, like, I got one shot to go up to this table and say hello to one person.
Okay.
I got one shot, and I chose Scorsese.
Okay.
To go up and say hello to him.
Yeah, as you should.
And then it was quick. It was brief. It was, like, embarrassing.
Yeah. It didn't spill over. The introductions didn't spill over to the other guys?
Just saying hello. No, no.
Oh, really?
No. It did not. I had one shot to say one thing to one person. And it was brief and it was quick, but I didn't get a picture.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you. Maybe you'll appreciate this. Whenever I embarrass myself, I just go all in.
Okay.
If I'm already clowning myself, it's over.
Yeah.
So when they got up to leave, I pushed my chair out when Scorsese was there to block him to get up and take a selfie with him. And as soon as I took out my camera, there were security people that came out from places I didn't know existed.
Really?
And he goes, "No, it's okay. Because I said hello to him before, and we have it. That's it right there. That's it." Now, is this the look he gave you when you were too loud? Because I feel like this is what I got.
Yeah, just imagine his hands over his ears and that look. Like, who cast this mother? Who the hell? Who is this son of a? Why didn't nobody talk to him?
He doesn't even know how to take one to the head.
You know what's crazy? Another scene. My very first day of work, it was Matt Damon and I doing a scene together.
Yes.
We're just in this little small cubicle area working.
This is awesome.
And Marty would come in and he would talk to Matt and give him his direction or whatnot and then just look at me and then walk out. And so he came in three or four more takes and he was really doing the scene. And I was in there, man. I thought I was doing my thing. Never said a word to me. I always was just giving Matt these directions and just look at me and go, and then walk out. So lunch break, I called my guy. I was like, he was like, "Yo, Aunt, how's it going, man?" I was like, "I don't know." I said, I had this 4-hour intense scene with Matt. It was just me and Matt and Scorsese. And Scorsese would come in and he would only talk to Matt and he wouldn't say anything to me. And he was like, I said, "I don't know what to take." He was like, "Aunt, that just means you're doing your job."
Yeah.
He said, "You know, you're doing your job." And I was like, "Oh, you think that's what that means?" The director's not giving me any direction. He said, "Because you don't need it. You're
that's
good.
Right.
Matt needed all of the work in that scene." I was like, all right. He talked me off the ledge, man.
No notes.
He talked me off the ledge.
All right, then I'll ask you what I was also going to ask you about here. Again, Anthony Anderson, Prime Video's G20 on April the 10th. Check it out right here on Roku. How old were you when you were on the Bernie Mac show? When was that?
Ooh. I was an adult. What year was it?
2005.
2005?
This was very early on in your career.
I was 35.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, I'm a 70s baby. I was born in the 70s. Okay. So I was.
Okay, so you were an adult,
yeah.
but this is early on in your career going on, right? Pretty much.
Yeah.
Not really.
35. Not really. How old am I now? I'm
34,
19. Yeah, it was towards the early. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, why do you ask?
I'm just because I want a great Bernie Mac story. That's why.
Oh man, Bernie was great. No, well, see, Bernie and I go back to, we did Life. A movie called Life.
Okay.
Ted Demme directed.
That's right. Yeah, okay.
With Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence, Bernie Mac, Obab Babatunde, Brent Jennings. That's where Bernie and I met.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were in the prison scene in the mess hall, because I was cooking, the prison cook, and they're fighting over my cornbread. But we got, the cameras were on us for our individual takes, mm-hmm. and whatnot. And so everybody's doing their thing. So this is what I learned. I learned specificity from Bernie in terms of my close-up. Because, he as Django Leg was there doing his thing, and he was brilliant at it. But then when the camera turned on to him for his close-up, he came alive in a way that he wasn't alive in the group shot.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, so that's what you're supposed to do. Okay, because this was my second film. My first film was a movie called Liberty Heights that I did with Barry Levinson.
By the way, who's on in hour number 3 of this show?
Really?
Yeah, because he does the Alto Nights. He's the director of De Niro and Alto Nights.
So he's going to be here?
Yes, sir.
Can I stay?
So I think you have your people are got something yeah, else no, for you to but, do apparently, but Barry Levinson's
Barry
coming.
Levinson's
a legend.
Please tell him I said hello.
You got it.
Please do.
Absolutely.
So we had a great time on Liberty Heights. So that was my first film.
Mm-hmm.
My second one was Life, and I learned how to come alive when it was time for my close up from Bernie Mac. Because they had already shot my stuff, and I did what I thought I needed to do and all
sure,
that.
Sure.
And then the camera came on Bernie Mac, and it was, his character was the performance that he gave on his close-up was something that I had never seen before. And I was like, okay, so that's what I'm supposed to do.
Hmm.
And that was early on in the film, so whenever the camera did come back around to me in future scenes, I was like, okay, I know how I need to turn it on.
And you got that from Bernie Mac.
I got that from Bernie Mac.
How about that? Here I am thinking there's got to be something, comedic related, but it's serious professional.
Yeah, no, Dad. I got it from Bernie Mac first, mm-hmm. and then I also got it from Jim Carrey. When we shot,
Me, Myself, and Irene.
I'm just dropping these names. Watch out. Boom. Me, Myself, and Irene.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that, and this was at the beginning when Jim Carrey became megastar, $20 million a movie type thing. He was like, yo, I wonder how this guy's going to be. And again, specificity.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would think that Jim Carrey would just bounce off the walls, especially working in the film with the Farrelly brothers. You think that he would just be bouncing off the walls and hoping that the camera would capture something remotely funny that they could use. And it wasn't that at all. It was all calculated, everything that he did in that film, and in particular the things that he was doing with me and the other two actors that played his sons. I saw that. I saw it happening, and I was like, oh, I said, Jim is brilliant.
Yeah.
And to get to see and work with this brilliance, I was like, oh, wow. So I learned that from him as well.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. You're not dropping names. You're just talking about your career, Anthony, and all these great actors and that you've worked with. None of them have ever flossed for Viola before.
Or waxed. Anthony, why are you waxing that part of your body? I'm kissing Viola today. Who knows?
I have
no idea, with all due respect.
By the way, that could be a new fantasy football team name for us, is Flossing for Viola.
Oh, Oh, that's a good one.
I like it.
Yes.
And the avatar could be her kicking ass in G20. There it is. Look at that. Look at that.
Oh, my God.
On Prime Video, starting on April 10th. Everybody check it out. You're the best, man. Thanks for coming.
Man, it's always a pleasure sitting here with you and your crew, man. I love it.
I love having fun with you. My sides always hurt whenever you leave here, so I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for
coming
back.
We didn't even talk about the Rams, but we can do that the next time.
That poster is like if G.I. Jane and Michelle Obama had a baby.
That's a good one.
G.I. Jane if Michelle Obama had a baby.
Called G20. Everybody check it out on April the 10th. But here is Gordon Damer with a sports update. In the meantime, Anthony Anderson, everybody.
Your data is like gold to hackers. They're selling your passwords, bank details, and private messages. McAfee helps stop them. Secure VPN keeps your online activity private. AI-powered text scam detector spots phishing attempts instantly. And with award-winning antivirus, you get top-tier hacker protection. Plus, you'll get up to $2 million in identity theft coverage, all for just $39.99 for your first year. Visit McAfee.com. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
You met Prince, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the story behind that?
You know, I can't remember how we met initially, but after our first encounter, he made sure that I was at every house party that he had in Los Angeles. And if he knew that I was in town, like in New York, he made sure that I was at every show he performed at Madison Square Garden. I'll never forget, we were at Madison Square Garden. Security came to me to my seat at the end of the show or towards the end of the show and said, Prince wants you to come on stage. I was like, okay. Yeah, he wants you to come on stage now. All right, so I'll go on stage. It's me, Whoopi Goldberg, Cornel West, Tavis Smiley, a bunch of other people on stage. And we went to this after-hour spot after the concert, a place called Village Underground in the village.
Sure. Oh, it's famous.
Yeah. And so, you know, because Prince likes to jam afterwards. Well, Prince just went to go listen to the musicians. And so it's Prince, his assistant, myself. And I see Prince lean over to his assistant. And then all of a sudden, the assistant leans over to me and says, I don't know why I do this voice, but it's like, sure. Prince wants you to come back and have pasta and pizza. I was like... okay. And then Prince got up and left, and she got up and left. I don't know why her voice is so deep because it was a woman. She got up and she left.
Because you were summoned.
Yes.
You were summoned by royalty.
And there was, you know, an array of people in the living room, and I went back to find Prince, and he was back there holding court with Tavis Smiley and Cornel West, and he looked up and like smiled and gave me the peace sign, and I went back in, and we had pasta and pizza at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. How did Prince like his pizza? This is very important. The toppings is a window into one's soul.
First off, there was no meat on the pizza, and I didn't see Prince eat any pizza. we would go to his house, man, for the house parties, and it'd be Stevie Wonder playing the piano, Malcolm Jamal Warner on bass, Rochelle Farrell singing lead, Harry Connick Jr. playing bongos. No, that was Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey, I'm sorry. I get him confused sometimes. But it was just amazing, man. And then it's like 5 o'clock in the morning, his chef is serving you breakfast. You're like, why am I at Prince's house at 5 o'clock in the morning, man? It was truly an amazing relationship that not only myself, but other people had with him.
I'm just glad that it was pizza and pasta. It wasn't like a game of telephone, like Prince asked you to do something and came back pizza and pasta through his assistant.
Anthony, Prince wants you to come back to the hotel and have pasta and pizza. That's how it came to me.
I mean, how many stories did he tell that just make you laugh out loud? And some of them are just like these little asides, like Scorsese, right? He doesn't want you to talk very loud. And he's loud, and then he looks over and Scorsese's like, ah. And then yada, 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 he has not been in a Scorsese movie.
Nah, Anthony, he's been in the game for years, man. He's got,
no,
sure
I know
he's
that.
Got
where
so
I kind of,
many of
where
those.
I honestly thought that Bernie Mac was at the beginning of his career.
Oh, no, he'd been well
established. No, I know that. He's kind of looking. He's like, why do you ask? You know, I'm like, oh, okay. That's when you know as an interviewer you've stepped in it.
But no, you know, life was still, you know, that was still in the 90s. That was still relatively early when they did that.
Oh, yeah. So, Barry Levinson. I mean, he's done. I mean, we're just getting started with movie conversations on this program. Mm-hmm. I mean, big time stuff as we're waiting for Aaron Rodgers to make a decision, quite frankly. I mean, that's it. Uber Eats is delivering a game day deal for you all tournament long, because you can't watch 8 hours of basketball a day on an empty stomach. Oh. From burgers to wings, pizza to chicken sandwiches, whatever you're craving, Uber Eats has deals on all your game day favorites, so you never have to miss a single buzzer beater. Get game day deals on all your favorites only on Uber Eats. Order now. Remember, get game day deals on all your favorites only on Uber Eats. Order now. What a great, fun conversation that was.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's just like, my God, he's got an inner light that just... boom, just bursts out.
Boom.
Right. You know? How about that Scorsese telling you you're not dying right? And Scorsese's an expert on camera, you know, offing.
People get iced.
He would know about dome shots in the movie. Like,
right. You know. I guess Pesci's a loud guy, right? But only on camera, probably not off camera.
Right.
Right.
Didn't you meet Pesci once and you said he was
he was very low key when the day we met him.
We met him at the golf event.
Red Cross golf event.
Yeah. Right.
He was very low key that day.
Right. Yeah. Because, you know, we belong to the same golf club here in Los Angeles. And you know when he's there, when his car is parked in front, and then he will just play golf and just zoom past you, you know, because he just wants to keep playing.
Yeah.
And he's just the nicest guy. You just don't want to approach him at the wrong time because you feel like he's one of his characters in the movie. Yeah.
Also, you just feel like you're bothering him.
But he plays into it, though.
Yeah.
He will go up to kids who recognize him from Home Alone and just lean in. And he can see that the kids recognize him. He leans in and he goes, don't worry, I haven't broken into your home yet.
And the kids look great.
Dad!
Where's the paint can? Put it on a string. tie it to just above the staircase. Joe Pesci might be coming to the house.
I believe you, but my Tommy gun doesn't.
It's just fun stuff, man. Daniel Jeremiah on what the Giants' moves means for the top of the draft. Can't wait to. I got tons of questions for him coming up.
Joe Pesci went Goodfellas, Home Alone, My Cousin Vinny. Three in a row.
Will those three in a row for him? That's great. I mean,
and three different types of characters.
Oh my God.
Three different types of films.
But My Cousin Vinny kind of plays off of what he did.
A little bit, but it's a
comedy. In the same way that De Niro did Analyze This, right?
Right.
And then Analyze That, which wasn't as good as Analyze This, you know, where he traded off of his persona comedically, right? So. But De Niro's comedy work, Midnight Run, is second to none. Trust me, I wanted to go further on the Midnight Run thing with De Niro last week.
Sure.
You
sure.
Know.
That's your movie, man.
Oh, please.
And Brockman, like, in the mix of what you just said, then Pesci did Lethal Weapon and he's Leo Getz.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Whatever you want, Leo Getz. Okay, well, okay.
But Lethal Weapon was before.
Then Casino.
Like, what was the run for him?
It was
for Pesci?
Goodfellas, Home Alone, The Super, JFK, My Cousin Vinny, Lethal Weapon 3. like all in a row.
We did Lethal Weapon 2 before Goodfellas.
Right.
But he was not in the original Lethal Weapon. No. He was in the sequel.
Correct. Second, right? Correct.
Where did Easy Money come in? Was that just before that or after Raging Bull?
That was in 83, so that was after.
It was after because Raging Bull was 80. 80.
Yeah.
Easy Money. Joe Pesci and Rodney Dangerfield. Mm-hmm. In a movie together.
I pulled that up. I forget.
Oh, my God.
The other day, I just watched like the first minute, and then I think it was right before work, so I ended up leaving.
I grew up with so many people who sounded and looked like Joe Pesci on Staten Island, New York. So when he played a guy from Staten Island, it was game over. I know that guy.
You think Brockman would tell one of those Staten Island guys that they're not part of Manhattan?
Well, no, actually, I forced him to tell that to Method Man himself.
Yeah, Meth shut that down.
He was pretty angry.
But I made you do that because, you know, you got to be consistent. Yeah. We have to be consistent here on our program. Yeah.
You don't a take is a take. It doesn't matter who you say
exactly.
It to.
Yeah, but you don't want all nine members of the Woo.
I did not want to offend the Woo, obviously. You know what I'm
saying? Or as they were referred to by Artie in Larry Sanders when he told him who was on the show tonight, and he said Staten Island's streetwise troubadours, the Wu-Tang Clan. It made me laugh.
Protect your neck.
The great Rip Torn. Staten Island's streetwise troubadours, the Wu-Tang Clan.